Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Meltdown to Mastery. I'm your host, Jane Marchiandi, and today we've got a truly special guest. We're diving into something truly magical, 5 ways to raise your energy that hold the keys to genuine manifestation. Trust me, this conversation is packed with insights that will elevate your vibe and set the stage for the law of attraction to work its wonders in ways you never saw coming. So get ready for an episode that's not just enlightening, but potentially life-changing. Let's welcome JJ and explore the power of raising our energy for true manifestation. Welcome to Meltdown to Mastery, empowering women to overcome midlife crisis by rewiring the subconscious mind. Feeling overwhelmed, disillusioned, stuck? We all have. Here we explore inspiration and empowerment to navigate through the tough times and move to a place where hearts soar, minds manifest, and bodies heal. Welcome, JJ.
Hello, how are you?
I'm great. So our plan is to get into some energy practices and empowering strategies. In fact, 5 ways to raise your energy. But first, I wanted you to talk about how you switched from looking outwardly for validation to inward focus.
Yeah.
And then we're going to lead after all of that into how, by raising our vibration, we're able to manifest in our life.
I love that. Well, I will just start by saying this was not something I woke up in the morning and said, okay, today I'm going to raise my energy. It was really something that was forced upon me. And the more people I talk to, many of them go through these tower moments, as the tarot would suggest, that really kind of shake us at our core at ways that we may or may not be ready for. So this could be a loss of a loved one, a relationship falls apart, you lose a job, you get in an accident, you know, something traumatic happens to you. And you are at a crossroads where you get to decide how you're going to move forward.
Yeah. And did you find at one point in your life that you were looking outwardly for a map? And then realized that it was an inward.
I did. And like most people, we're conditioned from such an early age to strive and act. And I think so many of us are conditioned to work outside of our bodies to really determine how worthy we are. And I was no different. I came from a family with few means, and I had to really find a path that I could pay for my house and my car and the lifestyle I wanted to live. But that quickly turned into continuous striving for the next thing. And that next thing could have been a trip, a role, a title, a salary bracket, you name it. So I was chasing this oasis of success from an early age that I didn't even recognize until I was well into my 40s.
Did something happen, like you were saying? The meltdown happens.
Yes, the meltdown happens in so many ways for so many of us, and I am no different. You know, my relationship, things happened with my parents, things happening in my business. It kind of was a trifecta of situations that were happening where I felt like everything I'd been driving for and striving for just sort of was moving away from me in ways that I couldn't really explain. And it left me feeling so alone. And I tried going to book club. I tried going to the workout class. I tried to have wine night. You know, I tried to take on a hobby, but it was like a bigger gap than that. It was something that I just couldn't really seem to fill, that really brought me to my knees in so many ways, in a way that I was like, all right, what am I supposed to be doing? Because obviously everything that brought me to this point, none of the tools and tactics or activities or options were working, and I needed a new way.
Yeah. And so what happened?
Well, it's interesting because when I was younger, my mom and her sisters would go to Lilydale. It's a medium community outside of Buffalo, New York, on Lake Chautauqua. And it was some way that they kind of found additional answers. And I've always been to reader or medium, but when this all started happening, I really started going to more classes. I started taking tapping classes, and not tapping of your toes, but tapping of your fingers. I started going to more energy-based classes. I went to Reiki. I did find a therapist because I just was trying to figure out, like, what am I supposed to be doing? Why don't I have this joy and satisfaction that I've been working so hard to achieve?
Yeah. So there's this inward feeling of emptiness, isn't there? Even though there's an appearance of outward success.
So much so. And it was the therapist that was the guide for me. Guides come into your life at different points in time when you could go left or right, but someone really guides you in a particular direction. I had a guidance counselor that did that for me. I had a manager, and the therapist at this point in my life was the one that really guided me toward mindfulness training. And I have to say, when I first heard her suggestion, I was annoyed. I was like, you know, I'm having like a life crisis, and that sounds really foo-foo.
So mindfulness is, it's a big topic, isn't it? What is mindfulness? And does that lead into important energy practices?
Oh my goodness. It's been the cornerstone for me, honestly. I did not go right away. In fact, I went and visited her another time, and she said, you know, I really just don't think you should come back unless you go to mindfulness training. And I was like, is she for real? But she was. And it was an 8-week course, Sundays from 12 to 3 in October and November, some beautiful months. And so I was like, I just don't have time for this. And even the first few classes, I just was like, had my notebook, I was writing my grocery list, I was working through work projects during these classes. And the teacher finally came up to me and said, you know, are you in or are you out? And I'm like, what do you mean? I'm here. Isn't that in enough? And she's like, you have to leave your notebook in the car. I'm like, no way. But she was serious and told me I couldn't come back in unless I left my notebook in the car. And, you know, it really took me 3 classes to really allow myself to be in a state of no action, which is what I pride myself on for decades and what has brought what many would perceive as success. I had to start unwinding things that I thought made me successful, but in reality just made me incredibly busy with some success.
Right. So like all the planning, all the busy inside, it's quite funny how you were called out twice. I love it. And told, look, either change this a little or you can't come back.
But it was such a blessing.
Yeah. Like so ingrained with what we think success is that we get a little tiffed when someone says we're off our path, but we know we are, or we wouldn't be seeking out some information. Anyway,
it really was amazing. I have to say, like, mindfulness for me has been a game changer in so many ways. And I just don't know if I, one, would have been ready for it earlier on in my life. And two, just don't know if I would have had a guide that was so fierce in her recommendation. It made me believe there has to be more than just me sitting here.
When we go into the 5 ways to raise your energy, is mindfulness one of them?
Well, mindfulness is actually the tool that helps you dive into the 5 things. So what mindfulness really did for me is it gave me some space between me and my thoughts, which I didn't really know that there was space there. I thought I was my thoughts. And so mindfulness is really the tools and techniques to create that space so that you can be an observer of your thoughts without having to hang on to any one of them.
Yeah. So you observe thoughts and choose whether to put more energy into it or not.
Yeah. I think my thoughts now very much like a conveyor belt of ideas that I can grab off the conveyor belt or I can just keep going.
Yeah. I find in the night, you know, when your mind, you wake up thinking things that are looping, I actually have to sit up in bed and say, okay, time for that to shut down now. Like it's the time the subconscious really comes up and can mess with our sleep, but we do the same thing during the day.
Oh yes, your mind is so active, and without really learning how to manage or mine, M-I-N-E, mine your thoughts, it can get the best of you in so many ways. And so mindfulness was the tool that I needed to even learn how to meditate, which we can talk about later. But I just feel like it gave me the ability to be more in the present moment, which I didn't know how to be in the present moment because I was always focusing on the future or really dissecting the past.
So what are the tips to being in the moment, and what does it feel like?
Well, I had to train myself how to be in the moment because, as I mentioned before, I got a lot of accolades, a lot of raises, a lot of, you know, acknowledgement for being ahead of the game and always thinking through everything. But it really robbed me of being in the moment. And being in the moment is where the joy is, where the satisfaction, where the synchronicities happen. I had to train myself how to really let that conveyor belt of thoughts just move on by so that I could really enjoy the moment that I was in. And what it looks like for me is just being an active listener, really being aware of what's happening around me, watching what crossed my path, and really investing in the relationships that mean something to me.
So becoming much more aware and choosing where to put your energy, really, or those places that are from the past or future that doesn't even exist yet, really wear you out. They steal your energy.
They do. And if you hang on to thoughts that aren't serving you for too long, they can drain your energy.
And create physical illness or disease. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very much so.
So it does, mindfulness does lead into energy, doesn't it?
For me, it does. It really gives me a bird's eye view of what is draining me and what is inspiring me. Well, for me, the five areas that I really had to work on to raise my energy, which gave me access to the manifestation and the synchronization that I'm working on daily. The first step is your thoughts, is mining your thoughts. What thoughts are you hanging on to? What thoughts are driving your actions? What thoughts are no longer serving you?
Yeah. So just becoming aware of them and then choosing whether to put energy toward it or let it go.
Very much so. I mean, you can't really you can't choose your thoughts if you're not aware that you're a spectator in many ways. Many of us think our thoughts are who we are. They make up every part of our being, but in reality, it's just a portion of who we are. And it's really what comes with, you know, that ego energy that really talks to us so often. I mean, we have the whispers of our soul, but often our ego energy over engulfs that because we just are so busy wanting to do and be and get there. And that inner drive for that core desire can be overwhelming to your soul. And what I've learned is that the mindfulness is the first step in really starting to create space for the inner light to shine and that wisdom, that universal wisdom, to come through.
Yeah, which is manifestation as well, isn't it? Like where you get the pearls from the universe.
Yes. And for me, I had to really kind of calm that ego energy. And to do that, I had to recognize it first and then decide which of those energies I was going to pay attention to and which of those energies I was going to allow to drive my actions. Because so many of us sit in a space of fear and self-doubt, which is something I learned after working with, you know, thousands and thousands of women through my books, is that most of the time, it's not that women are not capable or don't have aspirations. It's the self-doubt and fear that is holding them back. And unless you have a handle on what those fears are and where that self-doubt comes from, it's hard to work around those inner voices that keep us in a holding pattern.
Right. And they come through as inner voices.
So much so. So the first step of raising your energy is really mining or understanding that inner voice and what What do you have on repeat? What are things you're listening to? What are you afraid of? Where do you have self-doubt? And how can you sort of manage those thoughts on a regular basis to give you space to inject possibility, to inject, let me see what I can do, as Jen Sincero says. Let me check it out without weighing yourself down with so much fear and self-doubt that you never move off an idea which comes across your desk.
It can be all-consuming.
It is. And yeah. I think it's the number one thing that holds people back is their self-doubt.
Yeah. And we can so get ourselves into, I guess I call it a tailspin, you know, where you can get triggered and then you're in a state that you really wouldn't choose to be in. Like it could be annoyance or anger, or you're just upset. And then you're not even in the moment any longer. You're in this mind space that can really mess with your day. And choosing to switch out of it is very powerful.
It is. And it takes a lot of practice. It's not something you can just decide to do. And that's why I'm so grateful for the mindfulness training, because it essentially was the cornerstone for me to really get deep into where I'm holding my energy, where I'm focusing my thoughts, what I'm acting upon each day. And I think for many of us, if we want to change the outside, we have to change the inside.
So mining our thoughts, number one.
Number one, mining our thoughts. Number two is mining your actions. What are you aligning with? So many of us do things for other people or do things because we think we should or we feel guilty. And I've learned over the years that I have to be really cognizant of the things I say yes to, because we give away our time so freely. In fact, I created a free chart called The Power of No, where I help people really just determine what are the commitments, who asked you to do it, does it align to where you are or where you want to go, and does it give you good energy? Because most of us do things to help other people that actually don't give us great energy, or we assign ourselves to projects or even work sometimes that are really not aligned to things that really come in lockstep with our natural talent. And so it's a lot of effort to get things done. And it can drain our energy so, so quickly. So it's not just your thoughts and number one, but it's your alignment and the actions you're taking every day.
Yeah. And so many of us just want to please others. So we'll say yes, even when it feels wrong.
Yeah. How many of us can raise our hands right now that we're working on something today that is not well suited for us, but we said yes because we thought we should, or we felt guilty, or we just wanted to be helpful?
Yeah. Have you ever had an experience where you just say no and the other person is like, oh, okay, that's fine. And it actually serves them as well, because they don't have a bit of an anchor to drag along, because they can find someone that's more aligned with their project, or they're open to a different path. It's really interesting how it works.
It is so interesting, but it's so hard for people to say no. And that's why I've created this process for people to do, because I had to get comfortable really kind of reorganizing the way people want me to help them. Meaning, if they wanted me to help them for 5 hours and I only had 1 hour to help, how could I help? Or if it wasn't really a good fit for me, how do I find someone else or suggest someone else to kind of take on the ask? Because I think most people just have a super hard time saying no. And so I find that you really have to have confidence in where you're supposed to be working and aligning in your life, so that you know that the time and energy that you would be aligning to that activity would take so much away from something else you're supposed to be doing. And it gives you the confidence to say, you know what, I appreciate it, but I just don't have the time to do that now. But maybe, you know, X, Y, and Z can get that done for you.
Yeah. Right? Creating another path that could open helps say no, because you feel so guilty, you feel bad, you feel, you know, all these things that are programmed into us.
That is true. That is true. And I think that brings us to our feelings. I think that's a good way we should kind of jump into number three, which is our feelings. Sometimes our feelings of how we feel about a certain situation or a certain relationship or a certain event or activities, how many times you wake up the next morning and be like, oh, I wish I wouldn't have said that. Or can you believe that person did that to me? Or I wish I wouldn't have fill in the blank. I think we beat ourselves up so much and we have so many feelings associated with our actions that we have kind of minor feelings too. Like, should I really feel bad about that? And it's not really healthy for me to have these feelings. And where do these feelings come from? And do I really need to feel this right now?
Yeah. You know, I had a friend point out to me several years ago that if I stopped dwelling on something that I thought went wrong, it would disappear completely. It was only in my mind. And that is such an empowering thing. So if, you know, that feeling of, oh, I wish I had handled this a little better, you just say, no, it was handled as well as you could. And you just don't dwell on it. And then the whole energy around the disjointedness or whatever it is just disappears.
That's amazing, isn't it? And I think if you don't try that, you don't know that. And I struggle with it too. You know, something happened this week and I'm thinking about it. I'm like, what if I just didn't give it as much energy?
Yeah. What would happen?
Yeah. I mean, because if you follow Byron Katie or others, they'll say what's happening outside of you is just a mirage.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth is your relationships, not just your intimate relationships, but your relationships with your loved ones, your parents, your siblings, your children, your relationships with your neighbors or your coworkers. Do you generally pull towards you people that treat you well, or are a lot of times you're pulling towards people that are more hanging out in the mud puddle where things never go right for them?
Mm. When you're hanging out with people in the mud puddle, how does that affect us?
You have to say, if you're hanging out in the mud puddle, you're in the mud puddle too, because generally energies attract energies. And I'm laughing because I've been there. In 2011, I was in the wrong job. My kids were super young. I overassigned myself in my community. My relationship was challenging. Mm-hmm. Everything, every day, I was like, nothing ever goes my way concept. Whether it was like the coffee machine was empty or there's no gas in the car, you name it. Everybody I was around had the same life experience. And it wasn't until I shifted my energy by paying attention to every thought I had throughout the day, really got me out of that mud puddle. And so if you want to raise your energy, you have to mind your thoughts. You have to pay attention to your actions. You have to understand the feelings that you have on a regular basis, the energy it gives you. And you have to really be aware of the relationships you are holding, because your relationships are a mirror of how you are feeling inside about yourself.
Right. So they'll often change if you change how you're feeling about yourself. That is an interesting phenomenon.
It is incredible. And I think for many of us, we just can't possibly wrap our heads around the idea that we can change our outsides. And so like people will say to me like, well, how do you start? The easiest way to start is having gratitude. And it's not gratitude for the big things like, oh, I got to go on vacation or I got a bonus. It's I have heat. I have food to eat. I get to go for a walk because my legs work and my body works. I get to go grocery shopping. I get to get mail. I think it's having gratitude for every little thing you can find in your day, because teaching yourself to look for the positive, to be in the positive, to appreciate all you do have, it gives a sign to the universe to give you more.
So we've got four ways of raising energy. Is there a fifth?
The fifth is very tactical. The fifth is, what do you feed yourself? What do you do with your body? How much sleep do you get? Now, what do you put in your head and mind? You know, what are you reading? What are you watching? Like, it's really the actions you have every day. And are you taking care of your full self?
I always find that comes back to self-love. Like, once you really love yourself too, you choose things that fill you up and are empowering and expanding.
They were for me. And I'm still working on each one of these, but I feel like I have a better approach to how I move through the day because I'm more aware of exactly how I interact in the world, how I take care of myself, and what feelings I hold on to. I mean, I, like everybody listening, I have my moments. This weekend, I had a moment that lasted like 4 hours. And what really got me out of it is I turned on some YouTube videos that were talking about like just mindfulness and channeling. And I really just started doing something I love. What got me so enthralled in like 10, 15 minutes that I forgot about all the feelings I was having.
Right. What I want to say, what got you into that? Was it a trigger? Something that just happened that sent you back into
it? Oh, yes. Yes. I'll be totally transparent. I mean, I feel like my husband, I love him dearly, but he is my greatest teacher. He just, anytime that the universe wants me to dive into my next level of learning, something will happen. When I'll get so frustrated, and it'll take hours, but I'll eventually go back, pull a book out or open a YouTube video or get into a podcast I love listening to because I can't stand the energy anymore. And I'm like, I got to shift this. And I had sitting on my desktop a channeling course that I had not started yet. And I was not planning it to start it this weekend, but I was so frustrated that I ended up opening the channeling course and I listened to it for 3 hours. And it's so funny because I wasn't planning to do that. And I see now that the universe was really pushing me in that direction. And if they want me to do something new or get into a new thing, they seem to bring it through him.
Isn't that interesting? Because you could have chosen to stay in your funk.
Oh, it's amazing. I see him so much as a teacher to me and I love him dearly, but I feel like sometimes it pushes me to really seek within.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was thinking how my husband put me in a funk this morning because he was just so into his own thing. He wasn't answering the questions that I needed answered for the day to progress. And I just got really frustrated. And I was going outside to look after my horses, which is my favorite time of the day. And I had to choose not to be in that funk and enjoy where I was right now. So again, just being aware and mindfulness it's just so powerful.
It is. And our teachers are all around us. So people who really get you or just poke you at work and your neighborhood, you may be a family member. They're just actors in your play to really test you on how much you're going to let them bug you.
Yeah. So JJ, how does this all lead into manifestation? We all want, you know, some people feel they want bigger and better things in their life, but we talked about that at the beginning too, that they're often titles or things. But just talk about manifestation in general, and because I know it's a real passion of yours.
Well, I just finished my third book, Seeking. And I was invited to speak on several podcasts, and I came across the gentleman's name is Jason Madlock, and he was trying to get his book published, and I helped him publish his book through a group that I'm working with to get more people published, and he sent me his book, Empowered by Consciousness. And I started reading it yesterday, and he talks about manifestation going way, way, way back into the early 1900s. And he is a researcher, and he talked a lot about this gentleman by the name of William Walker in 1906 that wrote the book Through Vibration. Yeah, nothing really came of that, which really talked about vibration and law of attraction until 1928 when Napoleon Hill wrote The Law of Success and the 16 Lessons, which then he morphed into Think and Grow Rich. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, in 1986, Esther Hicks and Jerry Hicks came along. Jerry Hicks loved Napoleon Hill and the Law of Attraction. And probably many of us know of Rhonda's work with as her document that she sold 30 million copies. She has The Secret. And it really is about the law of attraction in talking about manifestation in the sense that you attract the energy in which you sit. And if you are mindful of the things that we discussed, your thoughts, your actions, your feelings, your relationships, and how you move through the day, you can definitely manage your energy to a much higher frequency, a much higher level. If you think of like a radio station, FM radio is frequency modulation. If you're maybe at 88.7, you might be able to move to a 91.2 or 97.4, even a 102.5. Unless you continue to work up your frequency to higher levels, the things that come your way will mirror the energy that you're in, which people call manifestation.
I want to talk about, you know, the types of things that we think we want in our life. Is there a, or is there a bit of giving in to what's just in our highest and best interest and in a way helping others and the planet and, you know, this contribution that happens, which can be so beautiful. And we may not even be aware of how it will happen or, you know, such a nuance to manifestation.
Well, you bring up an excellent point is when you're manifesting, you have to be aligned. Your conscious and subconscious or your soul's energy has to be aligned. And so if you're like, well, I just want to manifest a car, you know, or I want to manifest a Lamborghini, like, is that really in your highest, best value? Generally, our souls already know the reason we're on the planet. And oftentimes when we spend so much time in that energy, that's just keeping us so incredibly busy, maybe not very productive, maybe productive, maybe not frequency or energy you desire. As you work to raise your frequency and align your vision is kind of like, how do I want to move through the world? What do I want to move? How do I want to bring my gifts out to the forefront? Whatever that looks like for you, which could be starting a community garden. It could be writing a book. It could be speaking on a stage. It could be traveling and helping people across the world. It could be starting a writer's group. It is completely endless, and only you know what your soul is calling you to do. I guarantee you that you have had glimpses of your life's work already. It's things that fire you up, that come easy, that seem almost like, could I do that? Should I do that? It are things that are really called to you at different times, but you really just are not leaning fully into it. Is creating a vision of how you want to move through the world and how you want to help mankind with the gifts that you have. And only you can write your mission statement. But they even goes on, Jason even goes on to talk about Tesla and how he had a 369 strategy where he wrote it down 3 times in the morning, 6 times in the afternoon, and 9 times in the evening, his vision statement. And I think for many of us, we do not build a bigger enough vision for ourselves. And I think you should really think about, if you're listening to this right now, what is the vision you have for yourself just 12 months from now? What do you hope becomes so? And if you really just kind of lean into that, as crazy as it may sound, don't worry about the how, just write the vision down and continue to think about it every day. You will be amazed on the things that will come your way.
Right. I love that. So that is true manifestation.
It is. It is. And for someone who never thought they were a writer, I have 3 books and a community of energy practitioners. And I would say that all of them have started thinking, yeah, I could never do that.
The mission statement that comes from the heart and has a high vibration to it can lead to the most magical and interesting outcomes, more than we can imagine.
Oh my goodness. Like, it's a vision you have for yourself. Like, for instance, in my book, Seeking, I write about a woman in upstate New York that had a vision to have a lavender farm. She had her master's and she was going on for further education. And a person in her life said, well, what do you really want to do? And she said, I really want to build a lavender farm. Mm-hmm. Now she has over 2,000 lavender plants, and she ships lavender all over the world. Crystal lavender farms. And I feel like, don't worry about the how. Don't worry about how crazy it is. Just write a vision down of what you would want to create if money, time, connections was not a factor. Because honestly, it's amazing the things that will come your way if you are in the moment paying attention to what is being delivered to you.
Yeah, the signs, the signposts, and the inner nudgings, right? Does that lead to, I know you also are passionate about channeling, listening to your soul, listening to these nuggets that can come when we're quiet?
Yeah, and it, to me, it just comes through as thoughts. So I know they're crazy when it's something I would never think of. Like I was leaving Mount Shasta, I went to a retreat, I was really called to go there. And as I'm leaving Mount Shasta, I'm in my rental car driving to San Francisco airport. I see Mount Shasta in the back, my rearview mirror, and I get like a thought, bring the mystics together. Yeah, I don't know what that means. And who, what? Yeah, wrong car. Not even 12 months later, I put a community together for some energy practitioners I was working with on these retreats. And to not today, there's over 250 energy practitioners in there. And it's only been a year and a half. Like sometimes you don't quite understand why or what, and it might sound absolutely bonkers to you, but trust and lean into the calling.
Yeah, it just opens the door and then it all becomes clear a little ways down the path.
That's for sure. And it doesn't have to cost a ton of money. A lot of people, big hang up that I talk a lot about is our frequency, the frequency we give money. Mm-hmm. And this was a big challenge for me that we don't have time to go into today. But I would say that, you know, you could do things on a shoestring budget to just see what can happen.
Mm-hmm. Just to start.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely. I love this, JJ. Thank you so much. Now, how do people find more of you and what you're teaching?
Oh, well, I'll surely include my links for you to share, but you can find me on most platforms as JJ DiGeronimo. Or if you want to look up my recent book, you can put the word seeking, also put the number 74. So seeking 74 and JJ, and you will find my recent book on all the steps I took to raise my frequency so that I had an opportunity to receive and align with my soul's work.
Valuable stuff, JJ. Thank you so much.
If you've enjoyed the information in this episode, share it with someone you care about and know will benefit. There is one thing for certain. Meltdowns are inevitable. Let's move into mastery together. In the show notes, you'll find my link tree, which has links to many of the most popular platforms. You'll also find links to connect to the featured guest, webpage, and social media. Thanks again for being committed to mastery. Change in this world really starts within each of us.